Welcome to the show that helps you break through barriers to achieve an extraordinary life. This is Life, Then Finance with your host, Caroy King. Questions from listeners just like you will help to foster practical solutions to issues in your life. Now, here is your host, Caroy King.
Yes, welcome. This is Caroy. The future belongs to the competent. It belongs to those who are very, very good at what they do. It does not belong to the well-meaning. That's from Brian Tracy. It's amazing. Most of us have good intentions for so many things, but it's not enough to have the intention. You have to actually prepare yourself and align yourself, have the right skills, be in the right environment, have the right mentors, talk to the right people. And that is how, you know, your goal and vision can get accomplished. Otherwise, just wishing is not enough. Our topic for today is the mindset needed to successfully manage your money. It's one thing to want to manage your money, which most of us do, because we work so hard to earn it. We work so many hours to earn it. But then when it comes to growing it and keeping it and using it wisely, or we wish for all kinds of things, but they actually never happen. If the foundation is broken, there is really no chance. Anything can cripple a building with a broken foundation. Depending on how tall your building will be, that is how strong your foundation is. I'm saying, if you're planning to build a skyscraper, for example, you're not going to think about it when you're on floor number 3. No, you think about it at the foundation. So how big do you plan your nest egg to be? What are your intentions for growing this money and managing it? Why? Because it's that why that will allow you to stay in line during the hard times when you feel like falling off the wagon. So what I'm saying is, let's go back to the foundational principles. Let's make sure they are concrete. Let's make sure they are as strong as the goal you want to accomplish. Otherwise, if there are holes in your foundation, you won't be able to get to where you're planning to go. Last Sunday, I was chatting with a gentleman. He gave me such wonderful news. He had attended one of the financial classes I facilitated. And one of the things he said in that class before we finished, it was almost 9-week class. He had promised himself to be out of debt. He was planning to sell his car. When you're in a class environment, everybody is excited. The juices are flowing. You're equipped with this new information. But implementation is a different story. So the gentleman mentioned he's going to sell his car because he realized his car was taking up the bulk of his budget. And this is a young man in his early 30s, you know. I'm thinking, all right, that's very aggressive. A few months later, I find him, and he had actually sold his car. He was still on track and determined never to be in debt ever. He was, you know, he restructured his life so aggressively that it was very impressive. So when I saw him Sunday, he mentioned he had only 3 payments remaining and he will be 100% debt free. This is a man who is around maybe between 30 to 32 years old. Imagine the kind of wonderful future he's going to have with no debt. Ability to accumulate and grow his money. He took the narrow way because he was riding his bike around. He has been riding to work on his bicycle just to make sure he doesn't fall into the trap of most people. That is the kind of spirit I want to relate today. Whatever your goal is, let us go in with a zeal and an aggression. Be like Dave Ramsey calls it, like a gazelle, with a gazelle intensity. If you go in wishy-washy, you're going to fall off the wagon. Remember, everybody around you, at least the majority, are in the same situation you are. It's like the blind leading the blind. That environment is toxic. It won't allow you to break through. As we start thinking about the mindset, I want you to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I going to put myself in a situation where I have to organize my environment, organize my money, I have to have my family on board, I have to deal with the naysayers, because, you know, depending on how badly you are in debt or how much work you need, you may have to start saying no to some of the expenditures that are going to come your way. Think about all these things. Why? Are you doing it for your children to leave an inheritance? Are you doing it to retire early? Are you doing it to have a comfortable retirement? And if you talking about retirement, just look around. Most people at retirement age can't even retire because the nest egg hasn't grown enough. It would be silly to retire, you know, if you don't have enough money, especially if you have the ability to work. Think about your why. The why is going to help you stand your ground. The why is that thing that you're going to write on a big piece of paper and plaster it on your refrigerator, on your bathroom window, on your door. Your children will know why we are getting out of debt. Your family will know. It's something you're going to keep talking about. Discipline is not only a mind thing. Your desire has to come from the heart. Anything that's in the mind, when pressure comes, it's going to fly out. When external pressures are more than what you can handle, it will fly out. But things that have dropped in your heart are the things that are going to arise and say, no, I'm still not going to use that credit card because I want my children to go to school debt-free. I'm planning to pay for my children's college. I don't want them to come out of school with debt. You know, I was reading an article the other day and it mentioned most of the college graduates right now, as soon as they graduate, they pack their bags and go home. They come back home with loans and no job. Imagine what a start for a young person, a young adult. That is no future, really. You're starting up in negatives. Basically, what debt is, it is borrowing from the future before you even get there. What if you change your mind along the way? And we've had these stories many times. Someone goes through medical school. Once they are done with school, maybe a lady, she gets married, she has a baby, then she's like, oh my God, I can't leave my baby to any babysitters. I want to raise my child. But they have $100,000 loan. So that will not be possible. Someone has to bring in the income to pay back the loan. Debt is a burden. As you become a slave to the lender, the lender dictates everything you're planning to do. When we think about the mindset of being successful at your money, think about the why. Then what are your goals? Because your goals are going to dictate how you're going to organize your money. Most of you may have some form of debt and you'll have to organize it and get out of the debt. But then there's a systematic way of getting out of debt. For example, using the debt snowball. With the debt snowball, you organize all your debts from smallest to largest. Then you pay off starting with the smallest. And once you finish the smallest, whatever monies you used on that debt, you carry them over to your next debt. every other debt you've got, you pay only the minimum. As you finish off paying one debt from the other, you carry the money you were using on one debt, you add it to the next debt. So you'll be paying the minimum plus the monies you are paying on your previous debt. That is what causes the snowball. It gets bigger, it gets faster, and the little wins of paying off something will give you the courage to actually stay on track. Many times, most people feel the need to start from a credit card that has the highest interest. Unfortunately, that may seem logical. Remember, getting in debt and living in debt is a symptom of deeper things. The money issue is just a symptom of other things that are going on. So we need to deal with behaviors too. If you start paying off using the higher interest, you will get exhausted and give up along the way because you won't have any victories. And human behavior, we love victories. They encourage us to keep going. Use the debt snowball. That should be able to help you. And of course, you can go on the website and find on Life Then Finance. There are templates there that can help you do this systematically to help you get out of debt. Your goal is what's going to help you design your foundation on how you'll get there. Then you have to be able to measure whether you are on track. So you have to have milestones in place, timelines, because sometimes you'll have to do the garage sale, give up that annual vacation, you know, do extreme things that will help you get to the goal depending on how quickly you want to get to the goal. You also need accountability partners, people who help you. If you are married, you just have to be in agreement. Yes, it happens a lot actually, where you have a couple and they have two different styles of managing money. That's where money meetings are very important. The family meetings, you'll be able to sit, talk about your different styles of money, then find a middle ground. Because if husband is doing one thing and the wife is doing another thing, lack of agreement will not allow you to get to your goal. Otherwise, you may have to seek for external help if you just can't get to agree. Usually, the first 2 to 3 meetings are tough, but after that, it gets easier. You realize you're looking at the goal of what you're trying to accomplish, maybe buy a house, save for kids' college. It's a common goal. It's not a selfish goal. Then once you backtrack and figure out the things you need to do to implement that goal, naturally makes sense. Not easy, but it is doable. Many people have their finances in line and they're doing it successfully. So have accountability partners. If you're single, find a trusted friend, find a mentor. But remember, find people who have gone or who are enjoying the benefits of where you want to be. Don't be talking to your friends who are in the same boat as you, because their mindset may not have changed yet. They may still have issues that are keeping them at the same level you are. So you want to deal with someone as an accountability partner who is already there. Either they are living debt-free or they've paid off a bunch of debts, they live on a budget, they are growing their money, and you're seeing the fruit. They don't even have to explain it to you. You just see they've reached, their behaviors have changed. You've seen them walk the walk. If for some reason you can't find anyone of that nature, that's when putting money aside to pay for a financial advisor is very necessary. Money is a tool, and in this lifetime, we need it. If we don't manage it better, we can't accomplish the things we want to do. So keep that in mind. Interestingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, I was chatting with a young lady. She knows debt is not a good thing. She's highly conscious of it, but she was tempted to get a credit card. So she did. And she had this whole big plan of, I'm going to keep it. I won't be using it. Before the holidays, she found herself using it and maxing it out. The good news, during the holidays, she was able to get a Christmas bonus. So she paid the whole card off and everything was good. But now, 2 months later, she found herself using it again. She assumed she had a lot of self-control that this could not become a problem. And she realized she can see how it can really get addictive. It comes so easy and convenient. It's always in her wallet. And I told her it's simple. If you don't want to get in debt, don't play around with it. It's like trying to play around with fire. At some point, you're going to get burnt or raising a cub. It turns into a lion at some point, and it won't be that little cute cub. It will eat you up.
You are listening to Life, Then Finance. To reach Karoy King, please send an email to karoyking@lifethenfinance.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now, back to today's show.
The aggressiveness of credit cards and the advertisement, the bombarding and the level of convenience coupled with human behavior of wanting things quick and fast, the combination is made for us to fall in debt. So what do we have to do? This is a step for the hardcore people. You don't have to have a credit card. You don't need it. Basically, a credit card means you're trying to borrow money. Why are you trying to borrow money for food if you have cash for food? You don't have to do that. Why are you using credit at a movie theater where you're going to pay an interest on the movie? You don't have to do that. Use cash for the movie. The hardcore step, for example, I personally took is not to use credit cards and cut them up. That is, you know, the easiest way never to be tempted to use them again. You know, do you still get credit card offers? Of course. The advertising campaigns are extremely aggressive, because they know once they get you once, they'll keep you for a long time. Depending on your goal and where you want to go, that will determine how aggressive you want to be with, you know, stopping the credit cards. Another thing this young lady mentioned was, but I need one for emergencies, which is a myth. I don't know where this kind of mentality came from, but when you are in an emergency, you don't want your brain to first think, let's go borrow. And this is where having an emergency fund is important. One of the foundational things you have to do as you plan to grow your nest egg and to get out of debt and manage your monies the way you want is have an emergency fund. The recommended emergency fund is 3 to 6 months worth of your monthly expenses. So if you're spending $3,000 in a month times 6, that's $18,000 in an emergency fund. Is it easy to grow an emergency fund that big? Not really. It takes time. That's why you can start with a small one of $1,000. Once you're out of debt, then build the big one. Especially now with the long spells of time it takes to get a job in case you lose one, a big emergency fund is very necessary. Think about these things. Everything you do has to be systematic. If you are all over the place with no real direction, any place you get to, you may think that is the place. You may think you're getting traction, yet you are not. Have everything written down. Let it be systematic. Your goals have to be clear and measurable with time limits. if you prolong it, you're going to give up. Life is going to happen and you'll move on to the next thing. I say that because I know for myself, you know, distractions happen and you have to be aggressive in guiding, in guarding yourself, not to fall off track. For example, when you talk about, budgeting is a lifestyle. It's the GPS to where your money is going and to what your money has to do. It is as functional as the person who is handling it. So you tell your money where to go. Go left, go right. No, don't go there. So you have to have your priorities in mind, but they need to be written down because we create illusions. We all do. No one wants to admit they drink $200 worth of coffee a month. It sounds ridiculous. You might as well buy the fancy coffee pot and you know, just do it at home or something of that nature. No one wants to admit that until you start doing the numbers and work with real numbers, you'll always have an illusion you're doing better than you think you are. Put together your budget on paper, go through with real numbers, avoid illusions. We are trying to get away from a lifestyle of illusions so that we can get real results. A budget doesn't mean you're not going to have fun anymore. It just means your money has a direction of where it has to go. And you are in the driver's seat giving the money direction. You can build fun within your budget. In my budget, I have a column for entertainment and it's a big column. So do, you know, a budget for clothing and gifts. You can add all these things to your budget depending on how much you're working with. Interestingly, a budget can reveal so many things about you. For example, a long time ago, I noticed in my budget, I had things there that had nothing to do with things I liked. Entertainment was for movies and things like that. And, you know, through the years, my tastes have changed to more of reading and audiobooks and things of that nature. So, and I hadn't updated my budget to include my new lifestyles. So I had to go in and actually review. And it's a good idea to review your budget every other week. If your husband and wife have a family meeting specifically to talk about your budget, this is your money. The first 2 to 3 months, it's not easy because you're changing and modifying and realizing, oh, maybe I have more money than month, or maybe I'm spending too much here. I don't need that anymore. So you're moving things around. But after a while, it gets really easy. And it's just part of what you do. Right now, it takes me around 30 minutes a week just to glance at my budget and to make sure things are in line. I don't have to do a lot of prepping anymore. I've done it for so many years. It has gotten easier and it will be the same for you. The bottom line is you can do it. Once your foundation is set right, you won't have a lot of worry. I know some of you are already on a track to your money management plan. You have everything in order. Maintain the mindset. Keep equipping yourself. Get knowledge. But above all, get understanding, because you want it to come from head knowledge to the heart and let it be a behavior that will stick in the hard times, in the good times, in the tempting times. The path you're taking right now is narrow. It's not for everybody. Yes, everybody may wish to take this path, but they won't. For you who is interested, this is a narrow path. You'll see the fruit at the end. It's interesting because once your friends and family members start seeing progress, they will want to know what you're doing. They'll realize it's not something you just copy and take. This is a behavior change. You're changing your mindset. You have tools in place. You're being mentored. You have financial advisors and you have, you're reading books and you're changing your mindset in different areas. And the best part, success principles are transferable. As you gain discipline in this area, in the financial area, it's going to permeate the other areas. So you're going to find yourself starting to think about your health, your quality time with your family. You start thinking about your time management. You think about your spiritual life. And things slowly, things will start to fall into place. It's amazing. And, you know, God is so faithful because as you start managing the little you have, he said he will start to trust you with much. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He will start to consider you a distributor if you decide to nurture that giving nature of yours. And he'll start to use you. And as a distribution channel, of course, you know, you have the warehouse. Some of it will stay with you while you're giving to others and, you know, loving on other people who are not there yet. This is a journey. So we are breaking all the mindsets and preparing, you know, the foundation, that bare foundation of what we do. If you need any templates, you can go on Life Then Finance. There are templates over there. If you have any questions, send me an email at kiroiking@lifethenfinance.com. As Brian Tracy said, the future belongs to the competent. Just remain competent until it becomes a habit. The future doesn't belong to those who are in la la land. Some recommended resources. Dave Ramsey has a book called The Total Money Makeover. And Caroline Leaf, who switched off my brain. It's very good too. Help yourself. Equip yourself. You're built for success. Looking forward to hearing all your stories. Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Life Then Finance. Please join Kiroi King for another edition next week. For coaching, booking speaking engagements, and any other inquiries, please send an email to KiroiKing@lifethenfinance.com or visit www.lifethenfinance.com. May the coming week be filled with exceeding grace and favor in every aspect of your life.